Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the first August edition of the PFF Forecast. That means there is football this month. In fact, in just a couple of days. Some tremendous football is going to be played. And so we, for the second consecutive week, are bringing on a friend of the podcast. Andy Molitor is joining us. It's George and Eric, as usual. We're going to talk about, obviously, the fact that the Raiders and the Jaguars are squaring off in what is going to be an epic performance of football. We're going to hear about Andy's story in betting, find out whether he's a part of the same syndicate as Simon Hunter. We might discuss some of the injuries that have occurred during training camp, and we'll check in on how skinny Eric's face is feeling this week. Let's rock. Andy, welcome. It's been too long, honestly.
Yeah, it feels well. It's football season now. Like I did a golf podcast the other day with someone, and like, yeah, the Wyndham, you know, it's a real big. I'm like, no, it sucks. Like the golf playoffs are just smacked. Like nobody talked about the Wyndham Championship yesterday. It was the Soto trade, and my God, I mean, just little camp injuries get bigger coverage. Football is king, and we're at that point in time where everyone's getting their fantasy stuff ready and doing a million best ball drafts and getting ready to bet. And people are going to make some stupid bets on the Hall of Fame game. I'm ready to like play showdown DFS and in a freaking Hall of Fame game. Just to scratch some itches. So it is, it's exciting.
As a golf guy. And by the way, Andy Molitor at Andy, is it MSF? Is that what it, MSFW on Twitter? I always throws me off when someone doesn't have their full name there, but he of the Deep Dive podcast fame with our friend Drew Dinzik, who we had last week, and director of content at BetSports, who's a great follow on Twitter, but you're also a big golf bettor. And Eric, we haven't talked about this actually, because like Eric and I, we do have, you know, we do have side pieces, if you will, in the betting world. Formula One and basketball for me, WNBA, CFL, every kind of football you can find, including Pop Warner for Eric. Golf is kind of your thing. Are you betting on LIV, the LIV tour?
A little bit. I made a promise. I make a lot of promises in betting. I said someday, you know, betting's going to be so mainstream in like 30 years. I'm going to sit down and talk to my grandkids about my betting career. And I'm going to tell them like, hey, I've bet every single LIV event ever since the beginning. I said that's like a life goal for me. So I've always made just like one small outright. Actually, the first one I made like five, but I'm 0.0% ROI, negative ROI, 1,000,000% infinity ROI, negative on the LIV. So I haven't really gotten dug into it yet. A lot of guys in the first event we didn't know all that well, and it's a weird format, but I've taken some outrights here and there. So
Are they playing courses that we're familiar with, or is it completely new to us? Like, would there be? I know Rufus talked about in his podcast like that he was modeling it out, but I mean, are these courses that these people have frequented before? Would there be a path to modeling it, or is it kind of, you know, like starting out the USFL or something, like going blindly into it?
It's funny because it has been hard to like find, you know, you go bet on the golf tournament this weekend, you go on Twitter and follow golf Twitter, there's 50 previews for the course. And we've been playing Sedgefield for a million years. Sam Snead won this tournament like 8 times in the 30s. They've been playing here literally for a million years, but it's hard to find info. I read 2 previews for the Live thing, and all the writing is just about the political aspects of it, and the fighting and the infighting. No one gives it, like, the 2 previews listed 2 different pars for the course they're playing. There was inconsistency in even the simplest of statistics about it. But it's funny, last week the Live event was at the Trump course that was supposed to host the PGA Championship this year, and then after something happened in January last year, and they said, like, hey, we're gonna probably distance ourselves from these Trump courses. So
it wasn't the thing that happened in January that I'm thinking about, but I don't know.
We come here for your football and otherwise betting opinions. And food tips. Don't come for your documentation of actual events that happened that day. So please.
Jack Del Rio had some comments on it too.
He's who I listen to. he gets it. No, it's funny because I'm obviously in the news about, like, Tiger turning down $700 million to, you know, which is an incredible amount of money. I think it was Kevin Clark posted this at the Ringer. Was like, if the NFL, if this happened in the NFL, if, like, the Saudis started an NFL league competitor to the NFL, which quarterbacks are, like, who's the Tiger Woods of the NFL and who's the, like, Phil Mickelson, the Bryson DeChambeau? Where would you go with that?
Oh man, it feels like Rodgers would jump. Like, Rodgers is Mickelson. He's up there in age, and apparently he's taking, like, psychedelics now to figure out his life. I've had to adjust my priorities on the Packers
based on Aaron, this offseason. Aaron Rodgers, we're going to find out, is, like, very active under a, an alias in genetic Lyme cohort of truthers out there, which I was just introduced to yesterday, which is just an incredible
privilege for all of us.
Yeah, I feel like Rodgers is on Reddit a lot.
Yeah.
Now that I've dug into that.
So Rodgers is jumping. Is it simply that easy to say that Brady is going, no, I've made so much money, I'm staying here and there's nothing you can pay me?
Yeah, Brady is kind of the Tiger, even though he's maybe not the... Well, neither of those is really the moral authority on keeping your fingernails clean throughout your life, I suppose. But I mean, yeah, he's got so much money. He's got his own swimsuit line. Like, he's fine. He's old. He's not going to go do that. I mean, he is your Rory, your Tiger, whatever, the champion of the people here that's sticking it out. And it's funny now, the parallels, because it's, NFL, like, both leagues are looking to have some federal court proceedings possibly soon here with the whole Watson mess.
Well, the first owner that's jumping to the Live the Live Football League is Stephen Ross.
Yeah, that actually tracks pretty well.
Yeah, that guy, the Miami, what would it be? The Miami...
can't suspend me, I'm in the Live.
Yeah, the Miami, like, you can't pick the Dolphins anymore. So what is it? Like, the Miami Killer Whales or something? And the Miami Orcas. And it's just this complete disaster of a situation.
Well, and we saw this, right? Like, I think that the interesting part, there are plenty of, like, upheavals in the industry, but, like, we saw this back in the 80s, right? Like, this is, like, one of the things with, like, the USFL had, right? Which was, it's hilarious how all these same motherfuckers are in the same thing, but, like, Donald Trump, gets the New Jersey Generals, he buys them, and then he signs Doug Flutie, who's a Heisman Trophy winner, signs Herschel Walker, who's a Heisman Trophy winner. I believe there were 3 straight Heisman Trophy winners that were all signed by the USFL. And, you had Reggie White, you had, like, the Tampa Bay Bandits signed our boss, Chris Collinsworth, because he was fed up with what he was making with the Bengals. And, like, the league folded before Chris ever played a game for them. But it's one of those where, like, these upstart places, they're pro-labor in a way, right? Because they go there and they shake up, they pay, Herschel Walker was the famous one because he wanted to play after 3 years. And in the 80s, there was a rule against leaving college early. You had to play 4 years. And so, like, these I'm guessing what Liv, like, all of these things are interesting because what they do is they, like, they empower, like, the very top end people by giving them, like, throwing exorbitant amounts of capital. Like, if somebody should do this with the MMA, right? Because, like, it, you know, like, Dana White's paying these people like $4 per match. And, like, if they had something where, again, they could, like, you know, pay the payers more. But it's just like, you've seen this song and dance over and over and over again. And generally speaking, throwing these enormous sums of money at people generally isn't good enough to get the upstart league going. But what it does is, like, raise the bar for the existing established league.
And that's what, but, like, everyone just getting all up in arms, but, like, you got to kind of wait this thing out, see what's, like, I bet in the long run, like, this is beneficial for the PGA, just like it was for the NFL, probably, maybe not so much the NFL, despite, I think the NFL was probably always destined to become the juggernaut it is, but probably pretty beneficial for the Players Association with what happened in the 80s with the USFL, like bringing that to the powerhouse that it is now. It's funny that, again, with the Watson thing, we're talking about those two entities and what they're dealing with. And my God, that is, I don't even want to get into that. It's so convoluted trying to figure out. People are just like, so they hired someone as an arbitrator, but they can just appeal, and Roger Goodell hears the case, and then
I'm
that's
so confused.
That's the end all be all. Like, it feels just like a kangaroo court. And then at the end, like, the only way to, you know, overcome any of that is like a federal injunction, like we saw with Deflategate, which apparently is a thing, but it doesn't seem that likely to do anything other than maybe push his suspension back, which would be massively bad for him financially because of how they structured this. Right. Like, if he serves the same suspension next year because of an injunction, it just costs him like 10x because of the structure.
Well, I think that,
and then the idea, somebody said he could like restructure his contract to move that around again. And right. It's like, oh my God, let's just play football, guys.
And I don't want to talk about you know, a scumbag for too long, but the interesting thing about the Watson situation is the NFL is looking for the indefinite suspension, I think, as a way to kind of curtail that, right? So it's like, hey, if this is indefinite, then you better just get to resurrecting your life, right? Because like, that's the only way you're ever getting back, you know? So what is a federal injunction going to really kind of do for you? What I thought was really interesting listening to NFL Network earlier was that this blows my mind. So the arbiter, or the, you know, the judge that they hired, was it Sue Robinson?
Yeah.
She actually agreed with the NFL that he met the bar of sexual assault in the cases that they said he did. And then the result was to suspend him 6 games. So like, I mean, look, we could do that. We could do a whole podcast on this, and no one wants to listen
to
do
a 10 part serial on this
disaster of a human being that he is, but really something to behold.
Yeah. Let's, it's interesting though. Like, right. We talked about last week with Drew, Andy, that, you know, there are these like singular events in sports betting, right? There are these like, you know, you grind out an edge. And I remember, you know, there were a few years there, I think it was pre-pandemic, where Ben Brown, who you're your pals with as well, and myself, we would like, oh, what's Andy got this today on like mid-major basketball? Like, you grind out an edge on these like small markets, right? And then you really make the market pay when there is this like event that they don't know how to price, right? So like last year, like I think in the NFL futures market, it was, you know, Green Bay. What was going to happen to Green Bay, right? Like Green Bay, frankly, had weaker odds last year to win the NFC North and the NFC and the Super Bowl for much of the offseason than they do this year, when I think that they're frankly a weaker team, at least on offense this year, than they were last year. And, you know, there was obviously Brady with Tampa. I mean, are we seeing this right now, Andy, with the Ravens and the Bengals in the AFC North market? Or A, is there not that much available? And B, like, do you think that, you know, Cleveland, even if, like, let's say Watson gets 12 games, you know, is Cleveland still a formidable enough side because, you know, the run defenses they face or whatever, to make it so that it isn't one of those like, hey, this is kind of like free money off the ground type of thing.
And that's the tough part too, is like, what's your angle? Because there's so many good arguments for, I mean, let's just say, and again, I just have no idea how this works. I didn't go to law school, guys. William Mitchell turned me down.
No, well, shoot.
Let's pivot.
Yeah, can we get somebody else?
But I don't know. Like the realm of possibilities, apparently the distribution of events is wide. So let's just say it is like a 12 or a season or indefinite. Like who benefits? Obviously everyone else in the division and a very loaded AFC, but there's so many good cases that the Bengals have the offense to, you know, probably overperform or, you know, perform at the same kind of level we saw during the regular season, maybe even a little better. And the bounce back with the Ravens makes a lot of sense with the pieces they have and the injuries. So it's like, man, the road's there, but there's two paths. Like, do you want to take them both and cut your ROI down on that and just hope and pray? So I saw a lot of people get involved in this stuff early and said, like, I'm betting the Panthers, like, months ago, just the suspension's happening. It's like, I agree with you, but I don't want to suppose anything. Like, I thought I knew what would happen to Zeke. I thought I knew what would happen to Ray Rice before the video came out. Then I absolutely knew what was going to happen to him. But like, just it feels like they spin a wheel sometimes with this stuff. And then obviously we go back to the deflate gate where it's like Tom Brady's going to miss time. And then it's like, oh, Tom Brady's going to miss time next year. I just don't understand enough about this to probably put my money on trying to take. That said, like, there was a rogue 50 to win the Super Bowl on the Browns the other night before it came out, when it was supposing we were looking at 4-6. I took a little of that just because I couldn't resist. And then like, I should go to Hy-Vee and like take a couple of bags of food to the food, the food shelf.
You
like,
just jinxed all of your other bets.
Yeah. I mean, that's I'd probably go.
You just threw it all out, baby with the bathwater.
But then again, too, like if you think things are going to get weird,
right.
For the suspension, and there's some possibility he plays week one because of some injunction. The Browns are basically even money on the money line right now. There's not a situation outside of a bunch of Browns injuries realistically that moves that, further towards the Panthers. The only way that can really move is, hey, guess what? Brissett looks great. Or we have Watson coming back and suddenly your pick'em is a -5. So I bet the Browns twice this week and feel horrible.
I mean, there's also a chance that Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, there's people are talking about Sam Darnold like he's going to start that game, which, like, the infinite wisdom of one Matt Rule, I would imagine, would go against that. But, like Sam Darnold against Jacoby Brissett, like, that is a pillow fight to end all pillow fights. Like, you could win that bet even if Brissett started. So, you know, like, I think – you know, it's great to have a few outs, and obviously, like, you know, the money is still green, you know, in any of these events. I remember there was an interesting story, George. You remember when I was in New Orleans and you were still in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. and we did a podcast the day, like, right when Kobe died, right?
Yep.
And Spanky, the reverent one, on Twitter said, look, you got to bet the first quarter under in all these NBA games. And everybody went after him like he was the biggest asshole that anybody had ever seen. And it's like, and I think Spanky maybe lacks a little bit of like that, like, social grace, maybe, to not like tweet it out. But like, there are these angles that you're trying to hit. And like, you only get these opportunities a few times during the course of a season. And sometimes you have to take it.
Yeah. That's one that's better left for like a texting chain or something.
Right.
Tweeting that out was something, but he's brash if nothing else.
Keep that in the text thread. You know, I was going to ask if you have any, Eric and I talked about this on the podcast last week. Everyone gets really excited about training camp, right? And, you know, there are things like the Kyler Murray news, which or deal, which is hilarious. Then maybe one upped by the DJ Humphries deal. Steve Keim does not cease to amaze. You know, there are things like the Tim Patrick ACL tear. There is the fact that, apparent fact that Mitch Trubisky went 0-16 during a stretch in practice. And, Kenny Pickett looks like he has no idea what he's doing out there. And like, there are all these things, right? You see Tua throw one good 65-yard throw. You have Trey Lance, who now all of a sudden should be an MVP favorite, in my opinion. Is there anything worth taking away from what we've seen so far? Does it impact anything that you're betting on right now, maybe even something like the preseason. But I guess the question is for people out there who are starting to get excited about football, what is it in your mind, if anything, that is worth taking away from kind of the start to the season?
Drew and I were discussing this because it's funny how like we both come to the same conclusion sometimes. Like he'll say something like, I was just thinking about that today, because we read so many of these camp reports and so much of it is just full of BS. And I wondered out loud to him, I said, do some of these media types who don't have an established reputation yet, are they afraid to write bad stuff at camp because they'll lose some access to the teams? Is that like a thing? Because even the bad stuff is like, you know, oh man, you know, when they run this drill, it can go really poorly. It's like, hey, you went 0-for-3 and then there was a pick six, but a really nice touchdown at the end over the top. Like they always have to sugarcoat stuff. And he said, we saw glimpses of this and we saw flashes of excellence here. It's like, no, I mean, you're just describing mediocrity with some, some candy coating. It's wild that like, and the best part is like 31 camps are reporting everyone's in the best shape of their life. And we're seeing flashes of excellence, and whoever's covering the Bears is like, holy shit, this is going so bad. Like nothing is happening right. I love that the Bears coverage is just like Fields is lost. The defense is eating him alive. He's scrambling all over. They couldn't get the ball anywhere. It's like, man, is there like a case where, you know, it's like when guys give up their body count and you have to say, well, that's not how many girls you've been with. Like you have to adjust for that. If somebody is actually saying something bad about players in camp, is it actually worse? So I'm worried about the Chicago Bears at this point, but it's just overreaction season, everything. Like how many ACLs are going to pop this year? I used to know a number. It's like 60, man. And I think like half of them happen in the preseason and camps. Like a bunch of people's knees are going to blow up in the next 5 weeks. And like, that's just part of the NFL. And you got to hope it's the teams you haven't taken positions on yet. And at that point, you know, I'm not sure what you can do with like the Broncos thing. They had depth at least. I mean, for their benefit or anyone who's looking to bet on them or had already, like they do have a bunch of receivers there. But they also are bringing in, you know, a new quarterback, new kind of system there. It'll be interesting to see. It sucks about that, but that's just going to happen all over. Most of it is just trying to sort through all this fluff. And I really, really need to start seeing some things, you know, as far as like actual preseason games. And even that, it's tough because, you know, a lot of these coaches and these offensive coordinators, they're not going to show a lot during the preseason. Right. Although I have enjoyed the preseason line movement on some of this stuff. All it takes is I think it was the Falcons. All it takes is saying like, hey, we're going to have to play, you know, Mariota a lot. Like both the two top quarterbacks are going to get a lot of starting time. And then the Falcons line in week one of the preseason moves a bunch because a lot of these games are, you see the fourth quarterback and that's not great.
Yeah. So I'm interested here in the preseason here, because obviously, you know, look,
zero degenerate.
There are a lot of members of the syndicate that have, you know, followed along George's F1 bets. There are a lot of, you know, people who wait with bated breath for my CFL takes. But I think everybody wants to bet the preseason right now, right? I think that the question I have is, so you look at Right Angle Sports, a very reputable group. They lay the 1 point with the Raiders last night. That moves the market like a point and a half to 2 points. Like at this point, I mean, if you're betting preseason, is there really a handicap to any of the games? Or are you just playing things like teasers or what at long teasers and unders and stuff like that? Or is there really a way to sort of grind this out? Because I do know that there are people that make, you know, do better in the preseason than do obviously in the regular season. I mean, is there anything in that realm that you're particularly interested in, or are you just kind of playing, are you just kind of looking for, you know, sort of plus EV things that are available in the regular season or just exacerbated in August?
No, I mean, it is the preseason's completely different. You're not looking at the matchups completely and the power numbers at all. Like that's thrown out the window because of I mean, it's all informational. It's kind of like just the NBA on steroids, where it's like everything is, you know, half the big NBA moves come on players resting or mm-hmm. player availability. Mm-hmm. It's just like that as far as, you know, as soon as you get quotes after a late practice in the week saying, you know, we're going to get four or five series out of this quarterback and people weren't expecting that, like that takes money. It's all informational stuff. Just like I said, with the, you know, the Falcons saying they're going to play their top two quarterbacks a lot more in the preseason because they have to try to get them some reps with this offense. I mean, a lot of it does come down to that. And there are those angles where, you know, like, oh, Minnesota and Baltimore have been good in the preseason. There are teams that care more. You do have coaches who like try to win those games late. And it's not like they're leaving starters in longer than they wanted to. Just I really got to get this win against the Colts in week three of the preseason. But there is something to some of that. So looking at the long teasers too, you know, obviously with the low totals, the totals in the preseason are so much lower that the long teasers are usually pretty good. I'm fine playing a lot of those. I'll even play it on some totals sometimes. But if you can get a low totaled game, which they all are, and it's in the long teaser zone, and you have a team with like a good backup quarterback who isn't, you know, just absolute dog shit, who's going to come in and not give the game away, like those teasers are great. The total's like 34. What are we, you're not going to want to take 8 points with a team that's essentially a pick 'em. You know, I'm fine with a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, and you look at next week, right? So starting on August 11th. So we have a game tomorrow. That is, by the way, in the Wong teaser zone. The Jags are 2.5 win underdogs. Total on the game is 30.5, which it opened at like 34, I want to say, like, right, you know. And so somebody is bearing that on Pinnacle. Under 30.5 is -112. So we might even see something in the 20s by the time we're done. So that game, obviously, you can tease up to 8.5. You also have, you know, New York Giants +2 in the, what do you call it, the Tuna Bowl. The Giants Patriots on next Thursday. You also have a +1.5 with Cleveland at Jacksonville. You have a +1.5 with the Cardinals at the Bengals here across the street. You also have the Panthers +2.5, the Bucks +2.5, the Cowboys +2. So you have a ton of teaser opportunity if you don't even want to handicap these games. And as Andy was alluding to, The issue is when you have a lower total, every single point matters more. And the reason that, you know, teasers make sense in football is because the 6 points that you're getting are worth different things depending upon where the point spread is. If you can tease through 3 and 7, you're getting more than the 6 points are generally going to give you, let's say, if you're teasing through, you know, from, let's say, 7 to 13. And the lower the total is, the more of those games land on 3 and 7. So you're getting even more value when you tease through them.
If you tease through 0, you can go on Bill Simmons' podcast and talk about betting.
does the syndicate, the Simon Hunter syndicate, is there a tease through 0?
Yes.
If one of his guys comes to him and teases through 0, what do you think he does?
He has to give him a new pack of baseball cards to open. That's the deal. That's
that's a pack break.
Yeah, pack break. Exactly.
Pack break time.
Again, another thing that you can do on the Bill Simmons show if you're his son, the pack breaking thing is a very interesting world. I don't want to get into it, but I find it amazing that people watch that. The Wong teaser stuff is really interesting, and it brings me to a question, Andy, kind of about, you know, a little bit about, I guess, maybe your journey through, you know, through betting and how you've kind of, you know, maybe where you're at right now in terms of things that you find yourself betting on. And, you know, thinking about what's kind of to come, you know, the market is moving really, really quickly. There are tons of new markets. There are markets that are emerging that are now going to be live more quickly. You've got live markets. Like, how has your betting profile changed, and what are you kind of expecting to come in the near future?
Yeah, it is kind of a fact that, you know, you can make more money on small market stuff until you start bumping your head on limits. And then also, like, that small limit stuff, mm-hmm. eventually sometimes the books will just lower limits. So that process is just speeded up anyway. I'm looking at my tracking spreadsheet that is just a disaster of new tabs that I try to add up things and look at things. But of the money I've made this year, about 59, it'll just round up to 60% of it comes from the NFL and NBA drafts. Wow. So this calendar year, 2022, up till this point. And, you know, college basketball was decent. Golf has been good. Golf is a big chunk of that. But, like, if you're able to get in early on big numbers at some of this stuff, and we're able to, like, sending money to Canada and legal states to get extra stuff out on draft props, like, the drafts are going to be lucrative. You know, I think my next biggest winner is, well, my biggest loser is definitely horses. Andy should just never bet horse racing. Like, the Derby was such a disaster. Like, of all the sports I bet, that is one of the only red numbers that actually sticks out and hurts me. But, you know, all that small market stuff and informational stuff, like Eric says, with CFL, like, I've bet more CFL player props than I've bet CFL games this year, as you've been able to just, you know, find some things about depth charts that aren't widely reported. Like, that stuff is the money makers, and the NFL is hard. Like, betting sides and totals in the NFL, I'm happy to just grind out a little bit of a profit on that and hope that, you know, the upside in the NFL for me every year is just coming up early and getting good numbers on award markets, getting lucky with some silly award markets. There's two of the books that definitely didn't phrase it like this last year have phrased it as first coach fired / resigned, because there was no verbiage about Chucky resigning, and they were forced to just keep that market open. And I don't remember what the number was that we had on Urban, but my God, that was just a tease forever. Like, there was like four times we were sure he was going to get fired. Like, this is it. This is the one. And finally that came through. But like,
Urban Meyer, by the way, was he tried five or six things to get fired, and never would fire him. And this is great, right? So, like, there are, what I really like about some of these books, and, you know, we work with, you know, all of them in some capacity, but, like, you know, a book like FanDuel now is giving out, you know, player props for CFL games. That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a new product that we all get to enjoy. And as you said, like, they're the anytime touchdowns, where, you know, there's this cool thing about CFL where, like, the neutral zone is a yard and a half. So anytime you're at the 1 yard line, they put in this like big hulk of a quarterback and he runs a sneak. So like anytime touchdown props in CFL are kind of hilarious, because you bet the backup quarterback at like 3-1. And it's generally speaking, not bad at all. But then they have them for WNBA I think that this is what, and I want to get your opinion on this, Andy, as far as like the long-term viability of this as a thing to do. Because I think, like, as the markets sharpen, right? So NFL is extremely sharp, you know, Premier League soccer is extremely sharp. You know, you go down the rungs as people sort of get into sports betting more and more. A, do you think that the markets will actually get sharper, or if there's just like a finite number of sharp bettors and these markets are just going to sort of stay, you know, the same? B, do you think that the continuous nature of these prop creations, is that going to keep people in the game who don't necessarily want to always have to compete with the big fish betting sides and totals in some of the major markets?
Yeah, and I mean, Drew and I did a podcast on this once where we just did a like an hour and a half thought exercise about building a sports book, and we got deep into the player props talk. And like you said, I think that's just going to continue, and they don't have to care. They don't have to have that sharp of a number on that. Because first off, like, the limits are going to be lower, and it's a daily churn, and it's also way easier to justify limiting people there. Like, that's one of those, like, hey, guess what? If you go in one of these new, you know, legal sports books limits you to like $50 on an NFL side or an NBA total, like, that's horseshit. Like, that's come on. But I mean, if you go to a sports book and you're betting nothing but the, you know, the boosts that make sense to you that actually have some plus EV, or you're betting all these player props, if you open a brand new account and your first five bets are CFL player props, like, Hey, guess what? I'm
fine. Yeah, that's your fault.
I'm fine with them. Like, hey, guess what? I got limited on CFL player props. I don't feel bad for you. Like, that's fine. They can do that all they want. So I think the mitigation of the risk on those is that's in their hands, and they're going to take care of business. But that's the same thing too, is like spread that stuff around, play some other stuff, kind of, you know, limit your looking like you're only trying to crush them on these player props by maxing all these like CFL quarterback player props and stuff. And I think you'll be fine. But again, it's, we've seen it in the NFL draft stuff. The limits have dropped a lot. It's super hard to get down in a lot of places with that. Player props. I know plenty of people who do well in NFL and NBA player props, and they just, well, I churn through accounts pretty quick because of that. Or, you know, somebody recommended a new offshore. I don't know if it's new, but an offshore I hadn't used. He's like, yeah, they let you bet $1,000 on any player prop on the prop builder. And then he DM'd me back like 3 days later. He's like, yeah, that's over. Like that's not a thing. He's like, they don't anymore. They're done with me on that. And I'm like, all right. So it's just kind of the nature of the beast. But if you have enough outs and enough books and enough creativity, you know, that's the spots you definitely can make money. Or like, you know, in tennis, tennis is a terribly robust market too, where there's some very sharp lines out there. But I know some people that crush like ITF tennis, which is, I mean, it's not even triple A, that's double A. It's below challenger. But there's like right now, there's four big tournaments, two in the WTA, two in the ATP right now. And then below that, there's four or five challengers. But below that, there's like 10 ITFs going on. And even in my offshores, there's like four or five that have lines for that.
Wow.
And you know, stuff like that is, it's low limits, but those numbers are, it's the same as player props. Those numbers aren't going to be sharp as, you know, if you're betting into Wimbledon lines.
And the thing is, the people betting those, like, you know, this is, I think, the interesting thing. We have, you know, a bunch of really sharp bettors that listen to this podcast, but we also have, you know, a ton of people who are sharp in general, but, you know, they're not out here grinding ITF, right? Like, you know, it, because why do we all bet the NFL? We bet the NFL because we love the sport. Right. It's like if there was a place where the margins were that thin, but it was, you know, figure skating, we wouldn't be doing it. You know, it's like the reason we're doing it is because, and no offense to figure skating, but like, you know, I tried to pick just the random thing, but like we love to watch the game, and that's where people are kind of driven. And so, you know, it is really interesting where you think about something like the draft, where that is something that people love. You know, it's kind of a unique spot where there is a lot of love from all of the fans, and yet there is kind of money to be had. It makes me think that we need to do a draft tour similar to the training camp tours that people do, which are a complete waste of time, and people only do them to try and self-validate themselves for the work that they're doing by and large. But if we did a draft tour, we just went to every state that had betting legalized. And all we were doing was just putting money down on draft props. That would be as close to like the perfect Eric Eager trip as just following the Detroit Lions around for the entirety of the season.
It's wild that you said that, George, too, because some guys I know that bet the draft, and some of them aren't in legal states. Like, we talked about that. We said, like, man, 2 weeks out, we just have to get an Airbnb, split it 10 ways. And we decided it's either Colorado or Illinois based on the offerings. Like, there's a lot of better states to go hang out in than Illinois, but they have a plethora of books. Yeah. And they offer it. And Iowa, I remember this 2 years ago, I was going to go bet some draft props at DraftKings. I drove to Iowa and then realized they don't offer them. Jesus. I was pretty pissed, 20 minutes, but still pissed when I got there and I figured it out. So yeah, the draft house is a dream that has already been hatched. And
do you think we should just borrow the LA?
We now have, George, I know, you know, you're more of the like partnerships person here, but I think we've now created the collab that we need here. Between Best Spurts, the Deep Dive Podcast, PFF, and the PFF Forecast, the Draft House. I agree with it's Andy brings up a good point. If you drive to Diamond Joe's and you don't get to bet what you want, there's no more sinking feeling.
It's there. A low feeling.
They took out the poker room in Diamond Joe's just to put in the sports book. And if you can't bet draft props, I feel like that's just a negative outcome.
Man, it wasn't even Diamond Joe, Eric. It was straight south from where I live to like a farm town just across the border with a bar and a Casey's. Like, you know, it's just me in a parking lot behind a grand elevator pulling up DraftKings and hitting on the Wi-Fi from the local gas station so my geolocation's good and realizing that I drove to Chester, Iowa for no reason. God, Diamond Joe sounds good right now, though.
I don't even know. I couldn't name something on the Diamond Joe's menu. I didn't even know. I thought Diamond Joe's might have been an auto parts shop.
Diamond Joe's is a casino with a Subway and a new like burger joint that is like that they were promoting all around the casino. And wow. It's not great, but I will say the setup at that casino is pretty sweet. Like you have like seats that recline and you have like you have a power, you know, if you wanted to go there and like work for a day, it wouldn't be great, but it's passable.
That's interesting. I wonder if I'll ever work from there. That would be
I wouldn't get
that
work.
That would be a remarkable turn of the vets. If that happens, that's my cry for help. That's how you know it's all over. Before we move on to the last 15 or so minutes, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Andy, that you're getting into best ball. You know, it's kind of that time of the year, and we have a lot of obviously listeners who are starting to get themselves into fantasy mode. And if you're trying to do so, I'm sure you already use this, but Underdog Fantasy, underdogfantasy.com, Underdog Fantasy app is the best place to go play best ball. Right now, use promo code PFF and you can get your first $100 matched. And you can play in Best Ball Mania, which has $10 million plus in prizes. And here's the best part. You don't have to do any of the garbage setting of your lineups, picking up players. You draft a good team, then the highest scoring players play every week. So it's really a beautiful utopian fantasy world, and it prepares you to outdraft the other morons that you play your yearly leagues with. Use promo code PFF when you play $10 and you'll get a free PFF subscription as well. That'll help you with your draft. So it's a win-win-win-win deal when you go to Underdog Fantasy and use promo code PFF. That is my plug. It's not quite the Athletic Greens read that you hear on some other podcasts, but I think.
Have you tried Athletic Greens, George?
I'm not.
It's not bad. Like if you want to like a shake.
See, here's my thing is like, and Eric's I've talked to Eric a lot about this. I'm this kind of person where like the only thing that I spend money on from a fitness perspective is protein powder. That's basically it. Anything else, it's like, I feel worthless if I'm spending a lot of money to stay in shape. Like I don't spend money on a gym subscription. I have like two pairs of workout clothes. It's like, it's not a big deal. So Athletic Greens way outside the budget from a health perspective.
Yeah. It's not cheap. They aren't cheap. No. And also if George ever said anything mean about your favorite team, you can use my promo code instead when you go to Underdog. Same match. I won't even undercut your promo.
The promo code,
but I do like Underdog. It's fun. And back to the beginning, they have a golf contest right now called the Pump Cup. Again, if anybody is interested in best ball and is sick of drafting football teams at this point, they have one for the 3 weeks of the playoffs where if you get through the first week, it's like you're putting a pot of six people. And if you finish first of those six, you move on. And at that point, I think you double your money. And then if you get to that third week, I think they're $5 entries. The worst you can do is like 29 or something like that. But I think it's 20K to the winner in those. That's a fun one because it's 30-second drafts with six other people or six people total with 10 rounds. You can rip through some golf traps pretty quick. I'm going to be probably doing that all weekend.
I thank you for that plug. That was really generous of you. very, very, very kind. And one of the best Underdog's going to have to give us some extra cash for the addition of you to the podcast. One thing that I wanted to ask you about, Andy, because we got into some of the kind of the different forms of betting and did so with Drew as well, but we didn't really cover live betting. And I'm curious, you know, this is in Europe, and I've talked about this before, it makes up about 80% of the betting handle, you know, total dollars wagered. And in the US, it's still very much emerging. About 25% of NFL handle is live in game. It's a little bit higher for some of the other sports. But do you find yourself active there? if yes, like how are you, you know, kind of deciding how do you have, are you model based? Are you narrative based? Like, what are you kind of doing there? And I don't know, what's your kind of perspective on live betting in the US market?
A little of both. And I will consider second half bets as a live bet in its own little way. It's just it's just a longer timeout. That's the tough part about some sports. And my God, I was trying to live bet some tennis the other day and it just it just was doing the thing where the odds have moved and it wouldn't let me in. So I do like some second half betting. There are coaches, there are teams who make good adjustments in the second half. There are teams that don't. There are teams that are willing to absolutely throw it all at garbage time and try to get a bunch of points in that second half to try to make the scoreline look better. So just go back and look at some tendencies on that. I think you'll find some glaring examples. And I think second half betting is definitely a big part of what I do. I'd have to go look, I probably did better in my second half bets on Sundays than I did in pregame, because I mean, it's just, the market is more informed at that point too, but so are you. And they only have so long to set these numbers. A lot of the live stuff is, and I think that's where I like second half lines. So the live stuff, if you go on any of your, you know, offshores, legals, whatever, you're going to see a bigger overlay. Like a lot of these live lines in sports are going to be -115 both ways or even worse. And then when you do get to half times, which again is essentially a live line, you're not going to see that. You're going to see -110 or better if you can find some books that have some low vig options. So you can save a little money that way. I hate that when you see some of these live bets and it's like a two-way line that's -135, -105. It's like, God, I really want to make this bet, but I'm not sure I can pay that kind of vig on the over round on something like that. So I don't think there's a huge edge in a lot of the stuff you see people pouncing on, like, oh, the bad team scored early, so now I'm going to bet on the good team because it's a better price. You know, they were -8 to start the game and now they're only -3. It's like, well, yeah, it's not the same though. You're not betting the same game. They're down by a touchdown at this point and they are not going to just give those points back to them. So I've gravitated a lot more towards like straight up just second half stuff as a live bettor for the just saving the cash on the vig and having a little more time to maybe evaluate some things.
I think that's a good point, right? I mean, I think you're getting kind of the best of both worlds when you bet a second half, which is, you know, you're paying -110, you know, generally speaking, versus, you know, a lot of places are -120 and so on and so forth. But also the price discovery period is not terribly, you know, long standing. So I think you get the best of it when and it's also, you know, you also don't get delayed. You also don't, there's a lot of things with live betting where, you know, you're at an advantage if you're a player, but then the sports book puts themselves at an advantage in terms of, you know, being able to like reject a good bet, you know, making you lay -115, -120. You overcome a lot of that when you bet just the straight up halftime.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I guess one question I have is, I have some hypotheses here, but I'm curious your thoughts. Why do you think second halves are not, are not super popular? Like not a lot of people are betting them. And what could be done to maybe help that? Like if you're thinking about, you know, helping a member of the syndicate, for example, and we've gotten some, by the way, some conversation about not calling it the syndicate anymore because of the Simon Hunter podcast. So maybe
he ruined the word.
Come with something new. I know it's really unfortunate, but like what's the key there? Is it the fact that people can understand, like there's already a score. And so it's like, oh, this is confusing. Like, you know, now I have to do all this math in my head. Like what's the right way? Do you have a mental model, I guess, that maybe can help people sort of think about things in the same way that maybe they think about a pregame spread where it's like, okay, it's 0-0. I know 3 is a key number. I know 7 is a key number. You know, this team is, you know, that kind of mental model. Do you have one of those?
Well, sometimes they will throw confusing lines at you where a team is down by 3 and they'll favor them in the second half by -2.5. Mm-hmm. So essentially like, you know, the probability of a tie is so low. Mm-hmm. And so essentially you're not betting a 2.5, you're betting a 3.5. Like it's, you know, they do make some confusing lines like that. And then I'm guilty of this too with Drew when we do our halftime scopes is And we call them scopes, even though periscope isn't even a thing anymore. But I'm guilty of this too. We start thinking about two-point math and like if this happens to this, and we're trying to think like eight chess moves ahead when a lot of these coaches are just going to be playing checkers anyway. And, you know, there's so many things. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip, and a lot of things can happen and get weird in the second half, where I've gravitated more towards totals in the second half. I've had better luck with that. But it is, I don't know why it's not more popular. It's silly because like everybody in Europe, Australia, like live betting soccer, tennis, netball, all their stuff like that, they just love the hell out of that. Then it's something too, where you can fire off a bunch of small bets if you want to. I think there's a big advantage of, I've seen people who have gotten really good at doing this. And again, some of the amounts they want to get down, it's tougher where they have to do it at timeouts. You'll see that at some books where the limits are different in the NBA live compared to when you get to a timeout sometimes. And you'll see some nice moves on that because the NBA is such a weird, I always joke about it's a game of runs, like the oldest cliche, but it super is. And, you know, you have, again, coaching tendencies with who they're putting on the floor and things like that. There's a lot of angles to be had there. And I mean, if you're already watching the game, I don't understand why people don't, if you want to donk away money, live bet instead of doing like SGPs. Like that's a lot more fun. You can make a, because that stuff's just like, oh, that's dead. That running back pulled his hammy. Like my thing's dead.
Yeah.
I just pissed away all my money.
Right. And the some of the live stuff we've been doing, you know, like some of these books will offer player props live, right?
Yes.
And you know, we know like Swish Analytics, we know is the provider for FanDuel, for example. And like, I think that they're very smart, but it's like, you're not taking into somebody has to go in and take into consideration like, hey, like I remember it was the playoff game, it was like the Rams versus the Cardinals. And it was just like, guys, who's the former running back for the Steelers that started for them last year?
Najee Harris.
James Conner. It's like, James Conner is not getting carries today, right? Like he's just not the lead back right now. And they still are pricing it like he's the lead back. They're just, you know, linearly decreasing the line, right? And it's like, those are really, but of course, you know, to your point, Andy, way back, you know, a little bit ago, if you're a bettor and you log into FanDuel and you've only made, let's say, less than 20 bets in your career, and now you're just betting live player props, they're going to limit you like so quickly, even if you don't win, because you know, they know what the sharp side of the game is.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good, like, hey, guess what? This running back fumbled, and he fumbled last week too, and the coach already mentioned it in the presser. Like, that guy's getting three carries the rest of the game. Like, there are little angles like that, or just like, hey, this is the matchup we thought we'd see in a cornerback wide receiver matchup, and guess what? Their lockdown corner isn't on the guy we thought he would be. He's on the other guy, and that other guy's yardage total's too high. Like, if you're paying attention to things like that, there are angles to be had there. But again, it's another one too, or if you crush a book on in-game player props, that might want to put some soccer parlays in there as well.
It's a good footy parlay is always good. Andy, this was delightful. Tell the good people of the syndicate, or whatever the hell we're going to call everybody. Someone suggested
the brethren in Christ.
And then someone replied that they now understood why I said BIC looks like something else and maybe not the best thing for a trio of letters to represent our our listeners.
I'm using the abbreviation bro and C on my tweets.
Oh, good.
Adam Rank compared Cincinnati to San Diego. And I said, my bro and C, this is not it.
Okay. We're so old. Yeah. We say Jesus. Stuff like that. I agree that Syndicate has been ruined. Like, for it's, sure, you do have to come tough. Up with a name.
What do we come up with? The conglomerate? I don't know.
We're workshopping a little. You got time. We got 4 weeks for the season.
Okay. Because we have to have something by the time we light up the stadium swim pool after Trey Lance wins MVP. We have aligned on throwing the greatest party that Stadium Swim has ever seen once that occurs. All the winnings, all the Trey Lance winnings.
I just need a Lions-Jags Super Bowl, and then Who says no? I think I'd go to Atlantis. I'd be down in the Bahamas, man. Oh, you know, swim's fine. I'm going to Vegas a couple times already. So
we got to get you to Cabo. Cabo is the place where dreams are made. But tell everybody where they can find all of your good content.
Yeah, at Andy MSFW, like you said, mostly safe for work. That's what we decided that stood for years ago after I had to change my Twitter handle from Andy M570236 8, whatever it came with, because it just started as a gambling burner handle. Like, okay. this is the account where I can retweet like tennis handicappers and people who I know in real life won't see it. That's what this Twitter account started as. Somewhere off in life, I have like another Twitter account that I haven't used in 5 years. But otherwise, yeah, all my golf stuff's over at Betsports Golf. I'm wearing my Betsports Golf rope hat today. Hopefully, I haven't hit an outright since the US Open. It's just been treading water with matchup bets, but I would like to get one this week before the playoffs start. And then, the deep dive at Deep Dive Pod on Twitter. We're doing like 3 a week. We're bringing in smart people on Fridays. We got a fun one this week. We're going to do some stuff on Friday talking about award markets. It's because we love bringing down the what's going to happen in award markets. Maybe the most fun I have is betting into those and just tracking my guy, hoping my guy does well all year. Which I'm already 0-for-1 and I feel bad even bitching about it, but get well soon, Mr. Mechie. I had a rookie of the year ticket. Like, I know I'm like, all my karma is just shit too.
Yeah,
if I complain about that, like I it sounds like he's going to be okay, but hopefully he gets well soon. So I'm already in the hole on player props. We're going to hit Olave to get that one back.
Well, go check out your podcast, the Deep Dive Pod, on Friday. Get that. The awards markets are a lot of fun. We'll certainly be talking about them as we get closer. So go check that out. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll do this again soon. And good luck with your Live Tour bets. Live Moss. Okay.
Live Moss.
See ya.